This morning, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, so if you have your Bibles this morning, take your Bibles out and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 19 this morning. I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19 through the end of the chapter. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us ward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for the fact that in Jesus Christ, we not only have our calling, but You have given to us this newness of life, this newness of perception and heart and understanding. You have given to us Your Spirit that we can walk in the power possessing His gifts. And Lord, You enable us to do that which is pleasing to You and to fight a good fight. Lord, help us to bring honor and glory to Your name. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we were looking at verse 15 through 18. And we were talking about some of the things that God does for us when we become Christians. Paul is continuing to build upon this theme to help us to understand how we face all the battles that we are in this world, and not only face them, but gain victory and bring honor and glory to the Lord and can be used powerfully by Him. I want you to understand we live in a world which is becoming more and more anti-God. I don't know about you, but if you saw the beginning of the Olympics, I didn't watch the Olympics. I just saw some clips from the Olympics. They were disgusting. They were honoring Satan with the things they did. They honored pagan religions with the things they did. They mocked Jesus and the Bible with the things they did. So it should be no surprise to anyone sitting here that when that is the attitude of people who would prepare us for entertainment and for games where we are trying to show forth the best athletes in the world, and this is the way they introduce it, that they would hate Israel, they would hate the Jewish people. In the games, some of the Israeli athletes wanted to wear just a yellow ribbon on their uniforms in remembrance of what had happened to the young people at the music festival and those families in the kibbutzes that were slaughtered on October 6th, 7th. They weren't allowed to do that. But there were athletes that were allowed to wear Palestinian flags when there is no Palestinian nation. And there are Palestinian athletes when there is no Palestinian nation. And they're allowed to speak out against Israel, calling them murderers, when nothing but lies are told. We live in a world where truth doesn't matter
As a matter of fact, truth is often hidden, and people don't want to know the truth. Paul is talking to us, and he's talking to us about the fact that we possess a power that is greater than this wicked, evil power that's in the world that seems to be controlling more and more of the world. And consequently, you and I do not have to fear. And also, you and I have been called to unique responsibilities as God's people to be placed in the world at this specific time in history for a purpose. And that purpose is, number one, to bring glory to Him whom the world doesn't even want to acknowledge. And secondly, to proclaim the fact that God loves mankind so much that even those that are so wicked that they do the things they do, He desires that they would turn and repent and come to Him through Christ. I don't know if you've ever listened to him, but there's a young man. He's not so young anymore. He's in his 40s now. But he grew up. He's the son of one of the founders of Hamas. But something happened. Something happened in his heart. Growing up under Islam and in the home of where Islamic rule was, and the hatred that for the Jews and other things, and the way that he was treated as a young boy, he sought something else. And he found Jesus Christ. And today he's a Christian. One of the things that he has a perspective of, that sadly to say, many Christians who grew up in churches, who grew up in Christian homes, do not have a perspective of, is that what's going on in the Middle East right now is a great spiritual war. He said, people talk about land. It's not about land. It's about what God are you going to serve. It's about who is the true and living God. It's about, is Yahweh Yahweh? Or is Satan the one that is in control? And he says it's a spiritual battle. You can talk about land all you want. If it was land, for example, Hamas had the Gaza Strip given to them by Israel. Not only that, they had literally millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars pumped in there. If this was about land, if this was about money, if this was about developing, they could have turned that strip of land into one of the most beautiful places for people to go on vacation and to have time out and just enjoy themselves and make money off of. Instead, what do? Build miles and miles and miles and miles of tunnels to dig under the ground to get up into Israel to come up and kill them. But they don't want their land. They say they do. But if you look at it, it's a spiritual battle. They want the Jews dead. If they wanted their land, they had ample opportunity on many occasions to have it. But they're the ones that have refused to take it. Because it's not about land, it's about a spiritual battle. If you go back and look at the Old Testament, when Israel came into the land under Joshua, God told Israel to wipe out the Canaanites. Why? because they had no desire to worship the true and living God, and they had no desire for the truth. Those that sought the truth, God delivered them. The Gibeonites, Rahab, Ruth. She was a Moabitess, but they weren't supposed to be part of Israel. You see, if you wanted to know the truth, God was there to give you the truth. They did not. They wanted to worship the God of death, Satan. And if you look at their cultures, that's what they were. So we come to this particular passage in the book of Ephesians, and Paul is laying out for us, Christians who live in this world, that the prince of the power of the air seeks to destroy men and the truth. Jesus himself called him the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. So Paul tells us in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? So what is the power that Christ has that he can give to us, that he can place upon us, that he can impart to us when we believe in him, that changes us and transforms us and enables us to stand in the midst of all this wickedness and darkness and hatred and to be able to make a difference? He says, it's according to the working of his mighty power. It's according to the working of God's mighty power through Christ. And what is that power? Which he wrought in Christ. The word wrought here means to make evident or to reveal or to show. He showed this power in the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, when he walked as a man on the earth. Not only in the fact that Jesus had power to heal the blind and to cause the deaf to hear and to cause the dumb to speak, to heal disease, to cast out demons. That's not the power he's speaking of. The power he's speaking of, Paul tells us in the next part of the sentence, which was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Every other religion in the world today, their leaders and founders are bones in the grave. Buddha, in the grave. Muhammad, in the grave. Any religious leader, the man who started the Baha'i faith, in the grave. There is only one person you will not find their bones in the grave. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus the Messiah. Because God's power was revealed through him. You see, Satan thinks he has all the power because he brings death. And no man can stand in the face of death, right? None of us can. Every person here will one day die. But the thing is, there's power that enables us to live. And Jesus exemplified the great power and authority of God in that when they crucified him and they thought they had gained the great victory, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes who had put this plot together and then had contorted the events to make Pilate do what they perceived was their will and have Jesus crucified. Satan thought he'd gained the victory. But he just nailed the final nail in his own coffin. Because you see, when Jesus died on the cross, it was to not only take our sin upon himself, but also to show the tremendous power and authority of God, that he is the one that has power over death, not Satan. He is the one that has power to forgive or condemn because of sin, not Satan. He is the one who has all power and authority, not the one who claims that he has it. That all the Hollywood people, Beyonce's got a new song out that's going to be used by politicians to promote a worldview that's very anti-God. And Satan thinks he's got a big deal. Even if with the next election all the wickedness just keeps growing greater and greater, does it mean God's been defeated? The answer is no. The power was wrought and revealed at Calvary that shows that God is the God who is in control, that His word is final, that His promise is true. This is what is so distressing to me when I look at God's people and they don't believe the promises of God. What's happening in the Middle East today? When you've got Christians that turn their back on Israel, they're basically saying God's word doesn't mean anything. And when God had promised in His word that land was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants, it was given to them. And God said they wouldn't always possess it in the sense of living there, but it's theirs. It's not the churches. It's not the UNs. It's not the Muslims. God didn't promise it to any of them. Try and find somewhere in all of Scripture where it says the church has a right to the land of Israel. You won't find it. You won't find it that's anywhere in Scripture where it says that the church replaced Israel. It says that there was a new covenant given through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that out of that new covenant would come a bride for Christ. But God isn't done with Israel. And you can go and you can read the book of Revelation, and you can see that the last events of time will surround Israel. Not the church. Church is gone. Church has been raptured. But Israel. Will be at the center of history. God's truth is truth. God's power is power. And when God promises something, He delivers. Now I want you to understand what that means to you. That means to you, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you asked God to forgive you of your sin, and you repented and turned to Him and embraced Him and received this free gift of salvation, God's not going to take it away. Because it's been promised to you. You got Christians that believe that, man, the first time I sin, I lose my salvation. The Bible doesn't say that. It says that we're held in His hand. And who can remove us from God's hand? Had somebody say, well, I can remove myself from God's hand. Why would you want to do that? If you're truly His. The promises of God are sure, because the power of God is real, and it's been manifested itself in the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. He says, not only did He raise Him from the dead, but He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. The power of God. Now, that position of authority. Go back with me just real quickly to Psalm 2. And it's interesting, when you look at Psalm 2, you see what's happening in the world today. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, and who is His anointed? That is Jesus Christ. They are coming against the Lord. They're coming against Christ. That's why you have the Olympics mocking the Lord's Supper. That's how you have the Olympics mocking the power of God. Because they're coming against the Lord. They want to say, Christians do not matter. Yet if you look at it just from a perspective of a worldly perspective, you'd think that they'd want Christians to propagate themselves because Christians aren't the one that overthrow governments, and Christians aren't the one that run around killing people, and Christians aren't the one that murder people, and Christians aren't the one that cause all of these despicable things to occur. It's a spiritual battle. And it says that they are doing this, the rulers of the earth, and the rulers of the earth are inspired by whom? Satan. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's the rulers of the earth telling they want God's bands and cords broken and thrown away. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Guess what? God's a Zionist. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. going back to Ephesians, the next verse tells us who has authority, who has power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, it says that Jesus is sitting in verse 20 in the heavenly realms. In verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Jesus Christ is above everything. There's no demon in hell. There's no king on earth. There's no secret society that exists that is more powerful than Jesus Christ. He's above them all. And as it said in Psalm 2, all those that would war against God should tremble, because their day of accountability is coming. And I want to tell you, you don't think it's going to be accountability day for what these people have done against God's chosen? What they're doing to Israel? What they're doing to the Jewish people? But then also what they're doing to the church. Go to Africa today and see what the Muslim countries are doing to Christians. Slaughtering them. Burning their churches. Stealing their possessions. You don't think God is taking account? The day of accountability is coming. And the mocking of the Lord, the greater it goes, the greater the judgment. And hath put all things under His feet. Jesus' feet. Everything will be under His feet. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, what is Paul talking about there? You and I are the church. This building is not the church. This property is not the church. You and I are the church. Peter talks about in Peter how that you and I are a living temple of God. Literally being put together by the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus our Lord. Brick on brick, piece by piece, you and I are being put together. It's not by chance that you are living today. And you should be blessed to realize the time that you live. You are going to be able to see God do greater things in the day in which you live than people have been able to see. That in spite of all the wickedness, God will prevail. People are still getting saved. You know where the greatest revivals and people coming to Christ are occurring? In Islamic countries. Where the pressure is the greatest, where Satan is trying to suppress the greatest, where he kills people simply for naming Christ's name, people are coming to Christ. Much like this young man who was the son of the founder of Hamas, they realize Islam is bankrupt. The religion of this world are bankrupt. They offer no hope. They offer no peace. They offer no forgiveness. But in Christ Jesus, we find them all. And that is the power. The power is the truth and the love of God which sets men free. You know, you stop and think about it. Corrie Ten Boom's sister was an amazing lady. Corrie and her went to prison camp. And And her sister had a unique perspective on things. Corey, in her letter, or in her book, talks about how when they were in the prison camp, one day there was fleas everywhere. And Corey began to complain. Betsy said, "Isn't it wonderful God sent the fleas?" And Corey said, "What are you talking about? They're disgusting." "Well, the guards don't come in here because of the fleas. We can have our Bible study with these women because of the fleas. Women are coming to Christ because of the fleas." She had an amazing perspective. You see, God is more powerful than Hitler's most ugly guards. One of the women that guarded Corey and Betsy Tenboom was a wicked, wicked woman. And she was mean, and she was awful. And one day Corey was speaking after the war was done, and she was speaking around the United States at various places about how God had preserved her and what God had done. And she said she looked up, and in the back of the room, there was that woman. And what was she going to do? Who was greater, Satan, who had controlled that woman and caused all that pain to come to Corey or Betsy, or God, who was telling Corey, "Love her. Forgive her." Who's greater? She said, "I did not want to go and talk to her. I did not want to go and forgive her. But I did." The power of God is greater than anything that this world can attempt to do to stop it. And that is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and what He did when He rose from the dead, and He gained victory over sin and death, and He showed the whole world that. In His death, the Roman soldier stood and watched Him die and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." When He rose from the dead, His disciples, who had been cowering in fear, became men that went where God called them to go and face whoever He placed them in front of to proclaim Jesus Christ. Even if it would mean their death, the power of God, we don't understand it. Because we are so really just have the world's power coming in on us and thinking that's the only way you can do things. It's got to be by numbers. It's got to be by strength. It's got to be... No, it's got to be by the way of God. And the way of God sometimes is totally different from what the world would say. Don't get caught up in the world. And don't listen to the world. And don't deny the promises of God because the world says you should. But instead realize the power of God is there and it's been made real to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it's real in your life every day if you're a Christian. All we have to do is say, "God, help me to see it and help me to be used by You to express it that the world may see Your glory and know who You are." Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand these things. Help us to apply these truths to our life. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You turn to 621 in closing. 631, I'm sorry. 631.